It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today on First Lady and Friends, Kirsten Rapley and I sit down and talk about all the amazing things that we've been doing this year and a little bit of preview of the things to come. Let's get proximate. Welcome back to First Lady and Friends. We are doing an episode today. I have in studio with me here today, Kirsten Rapley, my awesome everything.
I'm like forgetting.
I know, what's your title? One of those titles that kind of changes depending on what we need. In HR, I think it's Director of First Lady Initiatives, but I don't really.
I know.
It kind of changes.
She's my.
We just do
she's
stuff together everything. A lot.
So we are going to do an update on our initiatives and all the crazy things that we've been doing. Hopefully you've seen us out and about. Hopefully, you know, you've had a chance to interact with our team and the things that we've been doing. But we just wanted to give a rundown and kind of a shout out to our partners and the people that have been helping us along the way, as well as the incredible people of Utah that we have. They have shared their stories with us, with the children in the state that we've interacted with. It's just been a beautiful time for us. People, I get the question all the time, like, you know, how do you like being First Lady? And the truth is, and the answer I always give is, it's actually really fun, personally for me. Maybe not so much for my husband and his role, but for me, it's been a chance to really do things that I'm passionate about and interact with folks throughout the state, you know, from the teeniest little newborn foster child to a parent who's struggling to figure out how to navigate being a foster parent, to incredible partners, organizations that we've had throughout the state. I mean, we've just met incredible people, and it's just been uplifting. There's been lots of times we cry
like
at events.
Almost every day. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been super cool. So we just wanted to do a quick update.
Yeah. I think somebody asked me a similar question once, and I just said, I get to spend my days doing service projects in the community, right? Like just meeting the people who are making amazing things happen in Utah. And we just get to go shine our little light and do what we can to be helpful. And I get to do it with my best friend. So it's just a really, really special and awesome phase of life, I think, for me personally, you know. And one of the things I learned as a government staffer is that government's not good at very many things, but we're really good at connecting people to each other. Maybe somebody, you know, being sort of at that 100,000 foot level where you see, you know, this group is doing this and this group is doing this. I wonder if they could, you know, work together. And in sort of a similar way, we've really been able to come in and just sort of be the people who get to do some of the networking. And it's honestly an honor because the people who we get to connect to each other are people who are doing really, really incredible things.
I think that's a big takeaway too, is just the power of people to do good in this state. And I think we many times get caught up in the negativity surrounding politics, surrounding basically everything, you know, that we see in social media and in the media is negative. And what we get to see day in and day out, and hopefully shine a huge spotlight on, and hopefully get some of that coverage in the media and social media to really, the world is not such a horrible place as we like to see sometimes.
That's such a good point, because yeah, what breaks through into sort of like the public sphere is often like the really crappy stuff that makes us all feel horrible. But underneath the surface, there is so much good going on. And that's the other thing I've been honestly blown away by, is just the amount of approaching us there has been, right? Like, hey, I'm a mom and I do monthly service projects with my family. Like, what can we do with Show Up? Or I am the CEO of a multinational corporation and we have employees and a budget for good. Like, what can we do to partner with Show Up? And we haven't even had to do a whole lot of approaching on our own because people just are searching for that good. And they're searching because people are mostly good, you know? Yeah. And it just has been cool to get to be something of a conduit for some of those opportunities.
Yeah, it's been such a cool journey so far. And so we want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we were able to do, some of the partners we've been working with. And we can start with our foster care focus area. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things we've done. I think one of the most powerful things in this space, besides, I mean, the biggest thing I think is just connecting with families. I think this has been the most powerful thing that we've mm-hmm. done. And celebrating families and celebrating what they're doing. And really, I mean, how many times have we had families come up to us, parents in this space come up to us and say, you know, I didn't know anybody cared.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the power of what we can do is just to really highlight what, you know, tell people's stories of what they're doing and the powerful work that they're doing.
I got to say something really vulnerable about this. I don't think that I did really care very much. And it's not that I'm like, oh, that makes me sound like really horrible, but I think it's because I didn't see it and I didn't know that the need was there. Utah needs hundreds more foster families every year, but in addition to that, they also just need to be seen and supported by community members, right? We've talked on this podcast before a while ago about the concept of care communities and just wraparound services in a sense for the families who are participating in this work and who are fostering. There's just so much more being seen that needs to be done in this space. And we've been able to do a little bit of that. I think some of my favorite events that we've done, this job is very event-based, as opposed to anything I've done in my personal career in the past that's been, you know, more policy or whatever that looks like. But we've been able to host or co-host, because we really are trying to just co-host everything we do. We're not trying to do anything by ourselves. Some cultural immersion experiences for foster families. We've had incredible organizations step up with us, like the Utah Shakespeare Festival and the Tuacon and the Ogden Dinosaur Museum. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm forgetting others right now, but just to host a night out for these families.
Bay, yes. We did just recently. There was an event at Boondocks.
Oh, yes.
That we were, you know, supportive of. And we just, there's been a lot of, we did a breakfast at Chick-fil-A
yes.
for families that could come. And that was cool. I met a woman there who brought her, several of her foster children, not all of them, but many of them, but she and her husband were fostering. They had fostered and then adopted three sets of five, with five children each, sibling groups. 15, let me say that again.
Yeah.
15 children that they took in to their family, and they had, I think, three of their own. So they had like 18 children, if I remember correctly.
And they're seriously like, there is not more important work. Like, we, in the space of government, and again, that's just my background, right? We talk a lot about like helping the most vulnerable, and certainly it's so important to help people in other sectors. I've spent a lot of time working on suicide prevention and homelessness and other things. This feels different, right? Like, these children, through absolutely no fault of their own, have entered the child welfare system. And there are these angels on earth who are reaching out and bringing him into their space. And it's just been so, so cool. And I think, I mean, we have a lot of other really cool stuff coming up. I don't know how much we've talked about the app here on the podcast.
It's a really cool thing that we've done, and we've partnered with the Hogle Zoo. Again, has been a really fun partner that we've worked with, and they've sponsored events to have foster families come to the Hogle Zoo. But we kicked off a really cool event at the zoo, and again, partners with America's Kids Belong and DCFS and Raise the Future and all these other partners that we have in the foster space. There is an app, and if you don't have it, please, please download it. If you're a foster family, download this app. And if you're a business or associated with a business, or if there's a business in your community and you're a family and you want them to participate, you can go on the app and nominate it. It's the Foster Friendly app. And what it is it businesses can go on there and offer discounts to foster families. They can become a foster friendly business. And it's really amazing because, you know, again, if you have 15 kids or 18 kids mm-hmm. now, because you have brought them into your home and you've opened your heart and your home to them financially, it's not easy. It's not easy to have that burden of taking, you know, making sure these kids have all their needs met, let alone mm-hmm. any wants or cool things that you get to participate in. Yes. So as a business, you, the Hogle Zoo will give you these passes at a very, very, very discounted rate. And you can take your entire family to the Hogle Zoo and it's not a financial burden. And so businesses can continue to participate in this. Yeah.
We've even had, you know, boutique owners reach out and say, hey, I'll give a 20% discount to foster families and those kinds of things. So, yeah, that's a huge, if there's like a call to action, I think, in the foster space, from us, it's like, if you have a connection to be able to offer and show from the business community what you're doing or that you can support these families, that's one way to do it.
And then I think the other thing that, you know, another call to action would definitely be making sure that we have that you're aware of the families in your neighborhood, in your church congregation, you know, your family, wherever it is, that you can become part of their caring community and reach out and figure out what they need with them, the best way to serve them, you know, and it will be different for every family. Some people will need their laundry folded, but other people will be like, please don't come in and fold my laundry. I'm kind of one of those people. But some people will need their lawn mowed. And, you know, what is it that we can do to support each one of those families? So I think that's a big part of it. And so let's quickly move into what we've been doing in the Special Olympics Unified Sports. This has been, there's been some events here. Again, talk about tears
yes.
and joy and connection. Let's talk a little bit about our announcements that we made with our two awesome, amazing schools.
So fun. And you can, we got a little bit of news coverage on these even, which was really fun. So if you want to see what it looked like and get those visuals, go, you know, get your Googler out. That was really, really amazing. the Special Olympics Utah organization came to us and asked if we wanted to help make these announcements. And so two teams, Special Olympics Unified Sports teams from Utah, have been selected to go compete out in Disney World next year as part of the USA Games. It's a huge, huge deal, and it's very, very cool. And we got to just kind of go and help make those fun announcements. So we pulled in some team or some community partners to do that with us.
Yeah, the Utah Jazz, as well as Real Salt Lake, were both involved. One with our soccer team, which was Tooele, and we were out there celebrating with them. Had a one of the Real soccer players, our goalie, and we had the mascots and the
jazz dancers
were at our other one in Wasatch for our basketball team that's going to be competing. And these events, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful, and there is nothing in this world that we need more, I believe, right now than unified sports. There has been some things that have happened in our state recently that have caused a lot of grief and trauma. And we're devastated about the lack of inclusion and the things that have kind of come out in recent days and weeks. The thing that is going to fix all of this, I believe, is how do we connect? How do we include? And how do we wrap our arms and love and get proximate to people who have individual disabilities, invisible disabilities, people that may not look different from you, but have very different sensory needs than you do? How do we create communities right now in our schools that will be the communities in our world in the future that are inclusive, that are loving, that are connected, that see people and celebrate them for who they are. And I just think there is no better way to do this than through Unified Sports.
It's totally a miracle. Every time we get to be around any of the athletes who participate in this program, I've never seen or felt anything quite like when we were in the gym at Wasatch High School, making this announcement, and we did a little basketball game, little meaning it was like 10 minutes long, but the entire student body was there just screaming at the top of their lungs. And I just barely could even breathe because it was just such a beautiful experience. And it's the kind of thing that, like, as a parent, I really, really want to help my kids get access to being in that space, because that empathy is immediately fostered. And the thing is, people are catching on really quick, right? We have a goal within Show Up to get this program into 100 schools by next school year. And honestly, as soon as people see it, they want to be part of it, right? We've had amazing conversations and commitments already from the Jordan School District and the Davis School District, who've come to us and said, hey, we heard about this thing, tell us more. And we don't even have to, like, I mean, it's not like we're working hard or doing a lot. It's just like they get proximate to the program, they get proximate to the experience, and they want this for their students. So I think, honestly, we're gonna, like, I hate to say this, and like, I don't hate to say it, I think we're honestly gonna blow our 100 school goal out of the water. And hopefully that just means that more and more kids exponentially throughout the state are going to get access to this.
Yeah. And again, we had a really cool event with Real Salt Lake at Rio Tinto Stadium, where we had a huge soccer tournament, the biggest unified sports event in our state's history, where we brought together all these teams. We had incredible VIPs there to experience the program, mm-hmm. have an opportunity to talk to the athletes and their peers, and to connect with this program in a way that just, I mean, you see it, like you said, you visualize it, you see it in person, you get proximate to it, you get proximate to these kids, and you can't help but jump in and say, no, this is the answer. This is the answer to what we're struggling with in this state and in this country. So
Absolutely. We're
super excited with our Unified Sports. It's big. We are going to blow our 100 out of the water. And if you want to be involved, if you have a business, if you personally want to sponsor a team, reach out to us, showup.org. We are going to showupUtah.org. We're gonna expand this, and we're gonna make this just the coolest program ever. We have more to talk about, and we'll continue this conversation when we come right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back here in studio with Kirsten Rapley, myself. We are giving an update about our initiatives and all the cool things we've been doing.
What are we up to?
We have been doing stuff. We don't just podcast. We do lots of lots of stuff. but we want to get into an area, and especially this week, we are working really hard in the area of emotional self-reliance, all the things we're doing with our educators, taking care of our educators first and foremost.
Yes.
I think what's happened is during this pandemic, we have focused a lot on our first responders, and rightfully so. We need to take care of our mental health, our emotional health. And I think all of us through the pandemic have sort of reflected on where we are emotionally and mentally, because there's been some trauma, and I hope we've changed.
Yeah.
I've hope we've focused a little bit more, have a little more self-reflection, have a little bit more empathy for people that are struggling, give each other some grace. I hope we see that in a lot of ways we have, in a lot of ways we have a lot more to do in this arena of giving each other some grace and helping each other find the best paths forward for ourselves and for our families and the needs that we have. But we need to also teach our children and the children of the state to be the future leaders and mentors and kind, caring humans that maybe we're lacking right now.
Yeah.
And I just think the most powerful way we can do this is through our teachers, through our educators.
Yes, yes. We've talked about it on this podcast before. I mean, we even had John Arthur, the 2020 Utah Teacher of the Year here. But he said to us, unhealthy adults can't teach children how to be healthy. And he was referring to his own anxiety and frustration and difficulty kind of coming out of the pandemic. We keep saying coming out of it, but you know what I mean? Just trying to pivot his whole career and figure out how to balance everything going on in his own life with his own family. And it feels also like an honor to be able to help the helpers a little bit here. And so that's what we've tried to do is, I mean, Abby, you have an education background. I do not. But one of the things that we're trying to do with our Show Up team is really focus into to show the educators of the state that we see them, that we recognize that their own emotional self-reliance, their own well-being really, really matters. And we're doing what we can with our resources to pass those on to teachers.
Yeah. And so the big thing that we have coming up is actually this week, and I'm not sure when this will drop, but we have a huge teacher symposium. It's a virtual teachers, educators symposium on teacher wellness. And we have some incredible folks that are going to be addressing our teachers, helping them to have strategies and tools for their own emotional self-reliance in order to then be the best educators, the best teachers that they can be. And these skills will translate in the classroom perfectly.
The best people they can be, right? I think about, you know, us in our own lives, like we're moms and we do the Show Up initiative and we're wives and we're all these, and teachers are educators and we see that. What's been really interesting working in this space is we've been prepping for this virtual symposium. And as we're getting ready for some of the stuff we're going to do in 2022 to continue to show and support teachers, is how practical it all is, right? I tend to think like, oh, okay, we're going to deep dive into some serious psychology stuff and, you know, open up our deep wounds. It's honestly, some of it is so practical. Most of it is the kind of thing that you can take into your own life and start doing the next day. Little things like breathing techniques, right? And there's more to it than that, obviously, but it's just been cool to see what's out there and to be able to bring those practices a little bit more into this space.
Yeah. And I think teaching ourselves, especially our educators, to recognize their own emotions,
mm-hmm,
and how that affects the way they teach. And when they're in a good space emotionally, when they know how to regulate their own emotions and the things that are going on in their personal lives, they're so much more effective in the classroom. And they are going to model what it means to be emotionally self-reliant to their students. And again, another way to set the next generation up for success in all aspects of their lives. Of course, academics. Mm-hmm. Teachers are going to teach academics. They're amazing at it.
Yes.
But how can you teach academics when you have a child that is struggling so much with their own emotions that they can't function in the classroom?
Mm-hmm.
If that child or that teacher has been taught and understands their own emotions and how to regulate them and how to label them and all the great things that these techniques that we can learn, if they have those tools, it just we connect better, we understand each other better, the inappropriate behaviors in a classroom will come down,
mm-hmm,
learning, academic learning will increase. And it's been proven over and over again that when these techniques are used in the classroom, when they're used as an educator, our lives are better,
mm-hmm,
and our students' lives are better, and everyone succeeds.
Have you seen it? For me, I think just having learned what the little bit that I have already in this, I think before I speak a little bit better than I used to. And when I'm interacting with my little kids, I'm really trying to be a lot more conscious of the way I'm saying things or how I'm framing them. And I think it's allowed me to diffuse situations sometimes. And I'm curious, have you felt that in your own life?
Yeah. Oh, certainly. I mean, I have a 14-year-old daughter right now, nearly 15.
She's
she will be in a few weeks, but there's definitely times where I'm reflecting on what's going before I sort of blow up or get after her for doing something, you know, and just getting really frustrated with her. I'm thinking about, why am I really doing this? What am I really upset about? What, you know, and then it's a time, it's a moment to self-reflect before, again, when a mother and a 14-year-old daughter relationship I'm finding is fraught with things that I didn't anticipate, but fraught with a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been times when I have to self-reflect and say, am I upset with her because I'm bringing my own 14-year-old girl thoughts and anxieties, and am I projecting that on her? Or, you know, what's really going on with me?
Yeah, yeah.
So that I can interact with her in, you know, that moment where I have to keep telling myself,
yeah,
I'm the adult. I'm the adult.
I know.
Be the adult.
Not
be the
always.
Adult, please.
I have a hard time with that with my 3-year-old sometimes. So 14 is going to be a doozy.
No, but I just think that's the space that we need to think about this stuff in. And I'm not going to lie. It's been a really frustrating time because I feel like there's a lot of misinformation and misconceptions about what this really is and what it really means. And we're doing everything we possibly can to dispel and to really define what we're talking about in a way that people understand exactly what we're trying to do. Emotional self-reliance, teaching you how to be an emotional scientist to really reflect on these things, are going to improve everything in your life. And I think it's beautiful for educators as it's beautiful for all of us.
I love it. I love it.
So the last focus area that we want to talk about, and we have some really cool stuff coming up.
We should probably
up.
Just do our own like separate podcast episode on this focus area because it's going to be so awesome.
Yeah. So we'll just give a little tease, and we've talked about service and we've done a ton of service projects throughout this year. I mean, we went to jane.com. We packed 250 backpacks for kids in foster care.
We did the 9/11 National Day of Service. We participated in some charitable efforts that are, you know, some of our team members are working on.
It's just been cool. We've done a ton of stuff. The really cool one, the neighborhood house that we did with the governor's office.
So
I mean, it was just super cool. So we've done a lot of cool service projects. We want service to be, it's going to flow throughout our initiative, but we want a bigger focus on how we do it intentionally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had LaDawn Stoddard here on our podcast. She's amazing. And we're working on some really big things. We have an entire service committee.
Powerful people. Just committed, amazing people. Yes.
It's going to be cool. And starting the first of the year in January, we're going to have some really... So be watching.
Yes.
Just some really powerful things that are going on in our service area.
I love it.
So, yeah. So let's just do a quick... Before we end, we just want to do a quick... what's coming up and how you can get involved.
Yeah. What's going to be so fun is year two of this. I feel like year one, we really started at the beginning of the year with a blank page. We've talked about how we went and we listened to people in these different areas because we wanted to know what the needs were instead of just pretending like we knew what we were or what they were. And then we, you know, started a 501c3 to be able to help us with some of this stuff. And I think that year two is just going to be even better because we're more organized and we're still learning so much in every single one of these areas, but when you know better, you do better. And I'm hoping to carry that into 2022. Even though like next month is also going to be really cool. Some of it we'll wait to share until later. But over the holidays, we're going to be doing projects in each of these areas and then kicking off 2022 with a really dedicated bandwidth toward expanding that unified sports program into hopefully your own kids' schools, dear listeners. I mean, what else do you think? Oh, and we're doing some summits in December. We should talk about the summit really quickly in December.
Yeah, we are doing a early childhood mental health summit in December with all the big players in the state around children and mental health, and it's going to be cool.
And 2 hours of that are a free webcast that anybody can join. And it's seriously, like, if you are interested in your early childhood and mental health, like, just go. The information's online. It's not hard to find, but join us because it's free and it's just going to be access to a wealth of information.
We have a couple of really cool events partnering with Utah Jazz coming up around Christmas time.
Yes.
Again, we just a phenomenal partner. The Utah Jazz have been just above and beyond. I mean, we just can't thank them enough. They're doing some really meaningful stuff with our foster kids and the families in the state that it's just cool.
Yes.
It's so cool.
I think that once we've sort of laid out 2022 a little bit more and we have a little bit more time, we'll maybe come back on and do sort of a preview so that people who are interested in partnering with us throughout the year know what we're going to be up to and can reach out to us, because we want to partner with whoever is out there who wants to be showing up with us.
Absolutely. And we will again mention some links. But if you have interest in any of these areas and you want to get involved, or if you just decide you want to donate funds to help any of these focus areas, we are excited we have incredible partners. We have organizations that are helping us, but mostly we have individuals that are passionate about these areas and passionate about creating empathy, getting proximate, and connecting as a community.
The best.
So we get involved with us, reach out to us. Again, showuputah.org. We would love to have any and all of you involved in what we're doing.
Yes, please.
So thank you, and we'll see you next time.